You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Season is now a couple of weeks old, and we're going to assess where we are with each team. Let's talk a little Mariners baseball with Greg Johns, the beat writer for this team. I'm Allison Footer. Greg, I found our colleague Anthony Kastrovich wrote a really interesting story about Edgar Martinez, who is the hitting coach, and that he's embracing this role, and it's much different times now that we're in than when he was a player, where they are breaking everything down. And that's what I think is interesting. I did a study on this a couple of years ago. I talked to a lot of people about can great hitters become great hitting coaches, and the answer is depends on who the guy is. Some that had wonderful success as hitters can't really be that hitting coach because they can't identify with the guy that struggles. What makes Edgar Martinez a good hitting coach, assuming that he is and he seems to be?
Yeah, it's interesting, and you're right, Allison. It's a pretty common theme in all sports, really, that the guys who are natural athletes, you know, aren't always great coaches because they do it naturally. They don't always, you know, think things through as much as a coach will. But Edgar has done very well in that role, and I think for one reason, which is he communicates very well, and he always, even as a player, I remember when they hired him as a hitting coach, talking to Willie Bloomquist and some of the other guys who were still around who had played with Edgar, and the first thing they said was he's going to be good because as a player they would go to him and he would see things and just had that keen eye and an ability to watch opposing pitchers and really study situations and able to communicate that and you know what to look for in different situations and really a mental approach, a mental hitter at the plate, and you know thinking ahead of a pitcher. You know, it's funny, somebody just telling the story the other day that Edgar one time was at the plate in a I don't know, 0-2 count or something. Took a pitch right down the middle and didn't swing at it and went back to him. Later said, that wasn't my mistake. Like he threw the wrong pitch in that situation. You know, he was thinking ahead and he thought the pitcher hadn't thrown the right pitch to him as he was ready for something else. But you know, he was just that guy and I think he's imparting that a lot to the young hitters and kind of how to get ready for situations and prepare things. And as you mentioned, Anthony did a great columnist. Anthony is an excellent columnist for us at MLB.com, and a piece talking to Edgar about, you know, when Edgar played, he didn't like to focus so much on all the, you know, some of the video and things that's so prevalent now and some of the statistics and feels you can kind of get overwhelmed at times. So, you know, really, you know, clearing the mind once you get up to the plate is key, but these guys do use a lot of preparation. We've got the iPads in the dugouts now that Edgar and others are using to get ahead on you know, pitchers they're going to face and what they throw and you know, all the numbers are there. So it is an interesting blend. And Edgar, just to me, one of the great figures in Mariners history, you know, really a welcome part of this team and by the fans and the players and the coaches alike. It's been great to have him aboard here for the last year.
I think that's the most interesting part is that he was saying when he was a player that it was you didn't want really all this information because you wanted, like you said, wanted to be able to keep your head clear and it was like too much that's clogging it up. And now it's sort of his job, I guess, to filter that out. So part of his job is to be looking at every single thing he possibly can on all of these guys and then knowing what information to pass on to them without overwhelming them. So that would seem like you really have to have a special talent for that and not anybody can just come in and do that.
Yeah, I don't think it's easy, and I think every hitter is different, too. You know, some guys want as much information as they can get. You know, there are others who, you know, flat out said, hey, I don't want all that. I've got, you know, a couple thousand bats in the big leagues. I don't need to, you know, look at the iPad a moment before I run out to the plate, you know, and keep my mind clear and then let me just be myself. And these guys are pretty good about, you know, respecting, you know, Scott Service's message from the day he got here was, you know, be yourself. You know, you tell them, tell us what works for you, and you know we'll make that work. And I think Edgar's pretty good at adjusting as well with different guys and their approaches. But it's a learning process, and Edgar is new at the job himself. You know, he started in midseason last year, and will be the first to admit that you know he's learning how to be a coach as well.
So let's move on to talk a little Mike Zunino. So I think this is an interesting storyline, just because. And I think I was talking to you about it a couple of years ago because they didn't really know, like they kind of rushed him and they realized that they were rushing him. He was their first pick in 2012, which was not that long ago. And he never really put it together as a plate. And they just kept like trying to figure out, and correct me if I'm wrong, trying to figure out if it was like worth just keeping him up there and hoping that it didn't mess him up too much, like the failures at the plate, while developing his skills behind the plate, which are very good. And it seems like they have like a different kind of plan for him now with the new front office, and he is a AAA raking right now. So is that kind of where they're changing their philosophy on him a little bit?
Yeah, no question. The new regime, you know, felt he was rushed, and it's hard to argue with that. You know, everybody, you know, loves what this kid can do behind the plate, and I think everybody thinks, at least most people think he can be a pretty good hitter from what he did in college, and the reason he was the number three overall pick in the draft. There's a lot there to like, and a great kid and hard worker. But it just didn't happen at the plate. You know, he hit for some power, but his batting average and on base were you know, way below what they needed and what he wanted and all those things. So, you know, they said, hey, let's send him down to AAA. Let's give him the time that he didn't get when he was rushed. Let's give him a year down there if he needs it. Let's give him, you know, whatever months it takes for him to just really get an approach and a plan that will, when they bring him back up, he's going to be ready, and it's not a case where we're yo-yoing back and forth between AAA and the majors trying to get him comfortable. He needs to stay down there for a while, and which has made an interesting start here to the season. Now, since you point, he's killing it in AAA Tacoma, and six homers in five games stretch, hitting over 400 and just doing everything you'd want. But, Scott Service yesterday saying, hey, you know, we have to stick with our plan with this guy. You know, we need the process. He needs to get comfortable. We just can't rush him back up here. And that's certainly a decision made easier by the fact that Chris Iannetta playing very well up here at the major league level. So, you know, as long as Iannetta stays healthy, they have no reason to rush Zunino back up here, you know, even in a backup role where he'd only get, you know, sparing time. I think they want to let him play. They want to really let him develop that overall game that will benefit them in the long term with this guy. And he remains a big part of the future, but they want it to be full stock and ready to go and be the guy they expect.
Yeah, it's not just like sending him down and letting him develop there. And that's the hard part, is when you're assessing somebody and they're at the major league level. And, I mean, we're talking about a 193 batting average over 295 games. So that's not a small sample over right. The course of three seasons. And the worry for a front office is that, are we letting this kid bury himself to the point where mentally he's not going to be able to have success at this level, because this is kind of in his head and now he's so screwed up. As the Yogi Berra saying goes, that the game is like, you know, 90% mental, whatever, but mm-hmm. It's so true. And at what I guess it kind of surprises me that it took that long for them to say, you know, that at no point they said, wait a second, we might be doing more damage to this kid for his career than it's worth, and let's send him down now.
I mean, I think it speaks to where they were and just didn't have other great options and really thought this kid would fight through it. And, he hit, you know, a fair number of home runs and things. You look at his power numbers were pretty good. So, you know, they kind of lived with it for a year. And you know, it wasn't until, you know, midway through last year, in fact, ironically, the day Jack Cerenzi was fired was the day Jack had already decided to send him down. And that's the way that worked out. So he went down for the last month last year in AAA. And they, when the new group came in, they said, hey, let's go out and get some catchers. They went out and got Iannetta and Steve Clevenger. So to give this kid a break and let's let him develop his game, and we'll be okay at the major leagues for this year and see where he's at going forward.
Okay, and now I have to ask you, is there a Cleveland thing? Because I'm reading through, you know, I read like everything that's been written about every team before I do this podcast, and it seems like everyone has some kind of really good thing going when they play Cleveland, talking about the Mariners. So is this something that's like I'm making up in my head? It seems like Kyle Seager, the Mariners as a whole. Is there a Cleveland thing here that good things happen when they play the Indians?
Well, it's interesting. For a few individuals, offensively, Seager being one of them, he's hit very, very well. In fact, I think since 2010, he's got the highest batting average of any opposing hitter at Progressive Field and over 400 and came here on an 0-for-17 streak, just struggling the heck out of it. And came in here and homered and singled his first game here in Cleveland and said he felt a lot better. And, you know, whether it's this park or what, he definitely needs to get on that roll and feeling good about it. But traditionally, Allison, over the years, you know, we've seen some nightmare games here in Cleveland, a lot of blown saves. I can remember some several ninth inning meltdowns with a couple different closers that came through. So Cleveland hasn't been particularly kind to the Mariners, and they've had some horrible weather situations here, some weather some snow, some sleet, some hail, some, you know, numerous years where they had to come back and play in the middle of the year. So I think your overall picture probably not as friendly as a couple of the numbers, Cano and Kyle Seager in particular, that have hit very well here. So it's a mixed bag, as most places, but certainly we'd like to get on a good roll here as they head out, and then we go to Anaheim next, and it's a team that's looking to get on a little streak here.
There you go. Okay. That's good to know. So I was just making things up in my head, or maybe just exaggerating a little bit, which I tend to do. So, Greg, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Allison. Take care.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.